This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hope you had a great Valentine's Day for what it's worth, right? Maybe you got some candy. I don't know. Maybe you bought yourself some candy. Maybe you gave someone some roses. I got some really pretty flowers. I woke up and they were in a popcorn cup in the sink. I mean, the arrangement was good, right? But I guess he couldn't find any of the vases around, so I thought it was kind of interesting to see it in the popcorn deal, but that works for me. It was good. I mean, he did the deal, right? So the Olympic theme, you heard it there. The good news, as I said, is the U.S. has 16 medals. 7 of them are gold, and there still are some big events that are coming up where the U.S. could medal. Now, we know the U.S. and Canada are going to meet for the gold medal game in women's hockey, so the U.S. is going to get a medal there, either gold or silver, and it's always those two battling it out, and I think that's an interesting story. This is a crazy story right at the top. I'm going to throw this at you, and then we're going to go to some of what I think is also beeping on the radar screen, like the fact that there's even a prediction that oil could surge to $150 a barrel. Wow. Look out when you go to the pumps. Can you skateboard? So Kamila Valieva, the 15-year-old Russian figure skating star, and she is head and shoulders the best skater out there, tested positive for a banned drug. She's going to be allowed to continue competing at the Beijing Olympics this week. But get this, officials say they would withhold her medals until her case was resolved. Valieva, again, is seen as the favorite to win the women's singles event that starts on Tuesday there, until it was revealed that she had failed a doping test. So this is a crazy Olympic Committee's decision, I think, extraordinary decision, to allow her to continue competing, but it casts a shadow over their premier event in the Games. Because this case is going to be unresolved. It could take months to unravel it, and it could have a lasting impact. Russia was barred officially from participating in the last 3 Olympics after it was revealed that they had conducted a state-sponsored doping scheme, right? That's why it's the ROC, right? That's why they call themselves that. Just crazy. It makes no sense. It just makes no sense. But that's the deal. And they're not going to have a medal ceremony. So let's say somebody else, the U.S., France, whoever, you have 3 different women that medal. If she medals, if she gets a gold, a silver, or a bronze, nobody gets to stand on the podium. Nobody. Because of that, which is, I would think, is outrageous. I think people would find that outrageous. All right, in case you haven't heard, I'll throw this in since it's a little bit of a sports beat. The Rams beat the Bengals 23-20. I can't believe you wouldn't have heard that because it seems like everyone in America at least had one eye on the Super Bowl because it's like a national holiday in the United States, and you add that to Valentine's Day, I bet a lot of people called in sick. Hey, I'm working from home, but I can't work today. It's a day of love, and I really love the Super Bowl a little bit too much. I'm going to take one of those personal days. We've been talking a lot about the Ukraine, right? And you've got warships over the Black Sea coast, and we keep hearing there's an imminent invasion that could happen. There are fighter jets. The Russian and Belarusian fighter jets have held these large-scale joint military exercises in airspace near the Ukraine. That just furthers the concerns about that. You've got 130,000 Russian troops that we've talked about a lot They've got tanks, heavy artillery. They're moving into these positions where if you looked at the satellite images that are all over the place, they're scaling up. It looks like an invasion to me. So there's all these disputes and with the Ukrainian people and the Russians, and it's clear we know Vladimir Putin wants to have the Ukraine under the Russian umbrella. But will he actually really invade? This affected the United States, the crazy protests in Canada. I say crazy because you had Americans working in plants, auto plants, because they couldn't get the parts to the auto plants. A lot of people had a day or two off and missed hours and money because of that. So there's several bridges, and of course some of them are more critical as an economic link between the U.S. and Canada. But one of the biggest ones, traffic started moving on Monday, really late Sunday. There were protests that continued in the nation's capital in Ottawa for a third week. But what the Prime Minister said is, we're going to go with the Emergencies Act. So that would temporarily yield enormous power to the government to restore order, because they would just haul the rigs away and freeze the assets of the person. Freeze their money, so they'd have no money, the rig would be taken away, and what's left. And then you had the Premier of Ontario, who, Doug Ford, his name is, who announced that the province would stop requiring people to show proof of vaccination to enter indoor spaces. He insisted the change was not a concession to the demonstrators, because that's what that was about. It was a response to having to have a vaccine card to show that you were vaccinated, etc. So now Trudeau is under fire for not being proactive while this whole thing was unfolding to do something to lift that blockade, especially in the vital border crossing in Ottawa, and turning the streets into an unruly mess of a protest. And as for the Canadians, it looks like they're not supporting the protesters' demands. 45% of Canadians said in a poll that the protests had made them more inclined to support indoor masking and vaccination requirements to cross the border. How about that? So they didn't swing in that direction supporting them. In the meantime, speaking of masking and the coronavirus, Camilla, the wife of Prince Charles, tested positive for the coronavirus 4 days after Charles got it for the second time around. And in the U.S., what we're seeing is a lot of people aren't masking because now many, many governors have lifted those policies. Part of that is Omicron has left many places where it's not as severe. We keep saying that. And the numbers have started to go in the opposite direction. So that's led to a reversal, which many people are very excited about. States lifting the mask mandates. And chasing that down depends on the spot. So it depends on where you live and look around. I mean, some people still choose to wear masks. Some people don't. In California, indoors, you still have to wear them. And there are places that are requiring that. But a growing number of governors in the U.S. are easing the mask mandates, rolling back pandemic-related restrictions because of the hospitalizations being dramatically down in their states, right? And at this point, what is the CDC saying? That still they're saying now is not the moment to start lifting indoor mask mandates, for what that's worth. And there still are conversations about vaccines in the future. Is it just going to be an endemic and that's what we live with? It's not going to be solved tomorrow. We certainly know that. How about those commercials? The Super Bowl, we're talking about them next.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Wants this dream house. It's got stunning views and a slide.
Barbie's ready for fun.
So cool. And Barbie found out about this dream house with an alert from Rocket Home.
She did?
Well, it's a super competitive market. Everyone wants to buy the dream house.
Better offer Betty.
I'll go 10 over asking.
Cash offer Carl.
Straight cash.
House super super.
Let's tear it to the studs.
You vultures, you're gonna start a bidding war.
This is less than ideal. Oh no.
Don't worry, Barbie has a verified approval that shows her finances are backed by Rocket Mortgage. So Barbie wins!
But we need a house!
Oh, I found a fixer-upper castle on Rocket Home.
It has good bones, but really bad neighbors.
I like his vibe. Get your dream house all in one place with Rocket Homes and Rocket Mortgage. For a better way to find and finance, Rocket can.
Thanks for helping.
No problem, it's good for my glutes.
All right, so we're looking at Super Bowl ads, because that's always a big deal when you think there were 65 of them and, you know, 65 ads, and they paid $6 or $7 million for these ads. That was a big one, Rocket Mortgage, the dream house with Anna Kendrick, a well-known actress, and the whole Barbie theme. And it scored very high, depending on the different meters that were rated, but did well across the board. I was looking at early views of this particular Rocket Mortgage deal, and there was over 15,000 views and climbing. And of course, the whole take is you know how tough it is to get a house, because we're in these crazy times. And so the idea of what do you do, Rocket Mortgage, and I thought it was well done. I say kudos to Rocket Mortgage, because I thought they hit it out of the park last time with Tracy Morgan and what they did with him and these funny scenarios that he was put in last time. And you see the ads still, a lot of those ads run. And so looking at Anna Kendrick, I think, is her whole dream house Barbie deal. And then the scary thing, I thought, was pretty interesting. All right, and we have a whole slew of others, including there was the going back into history with like Mike Myers and remember Dr. Evil, the whole Dr. Evil thing. And so for people who were fans of his portraying that character especially, I think you got a big chuckle out of it. I don't know if it would resonate with other people that were watching it, but it resonated with me. I thought it was clever. And here's that Dr. Evil spot.
Ladies and gentlemen, our takeover of General Motors is complete.
Dr. Evil, we can now use GM's Ultium platform to power our whole operation.
Now we can reduce tailpipe emissions.
I'm sorry, am I no longer Dr. Evil? I'm Dr. Good now? I didn't get the meme.
Climate change is arguably the number one threat to the world now.
Dr. Evil, you are now the number two threat to the world.
I refuse to be number two.
We have to help the planet.
Oh, please, cheer for my son.
Oh.
Your son?
I shall name him
Baby Me.
No, his name is Kyle.
Oh!
You must help save the world first.
Then you can take over that world.
Okay, Farrah, how about you let me do the business, all right? Hold on, I've got it.
I will help save the world first, then take over the world.
She literally just said that.
Scott,
you just don't get it, do you?
What? What don't I get?
You don't get it.
Oh, we're right back.
And you're never gonna get it.
You can't draw me into these little...
You don't get it.
You act like a child.
It is. You don't get it.
I am an adult. You can't push my buttons anymore.
We'll reduce our carbon footprint.
Whatever. Okay, let's go. We're going all electric.
Everybody in!
Not you, Scott. One day you're going to run the company, Baby Me.
All right, so that was 1 minute and 30 seconds, that ad, setting up the joke of Dr. Evil, the character explaining that what's happening with GM. He's taken over GM, the first step to taking over the world, and that's climate change, the number one world threat. And he's got all the same people from Austin Powers, you know, Mike Myers, Seth Green, and the other actors, and they were talking about electric vehicles and climate change. So some of what I read in the reviews is it was too literal, that it was painfully literal, and it was a warning about how polluting companies are now trying to greenwash their reputations. I read that in Gizmodo. Wow. So a lot of people didn't like the commercial. I don't know. I get what they were trying to do there, and it was a throwback with Austin Powers. So, did it work for them and what they were trying to achieve? That, I guess, is the key thing. How about this one? Keeping Up with the Joneses. Very clever. Listen.
What's up, Jones?
Jones.
Jones.
Woo!
Jones?
Yeah, it's Keeping Up with the Joneses now.
Yeah. Try to keep up, whoever you are.
Stay ahead in the all-new Tundra.
I love that one. I thought it was so clever. And Tommy Lee Jones saying, whoever you are, Nick Jonas, who is a superstar to younger people. I thought there were some funny things with this. And the Tundra struck a chord with a lot of people. The famous Joneses, as you heard there, it was easy to understand that. Because Jones might be one of the world's most common last names. But it was definitely a huge success and rated well across the board, and depending on how it was being rated, because you had Tommy Lee Jones, Leslie Jones, Rashida Jones, and the anomaly, Nick Jonas, which you heard there, and then Tom Jones with It's Not Unusual. I say bravo to that one. I really, really liked it and thought it was very clever. I love the comedian Larry David. He's the creator of Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm. He stars in now on HBO. And he did a clever commercial for crypto.
I call it the wheel.
I don't think so. This is a miss.
Brother Davis, behold!
It's a fork!
I got dead forks right here, brother!
A toilet? We're not animals!
We go outside like humans!
Hancock!
No king!
The people shall have the right to vote!
Even the stupid ones?
Yes!
Edison, can I be honest with you?
It stinks.
Nobody's gone to the moon, ever!
Why not?
It's far! It's too far! It's hard!
The next one, who's the pretty music this?
Fuck it all! Timmy!
The next guy in the
morning,
no! Like I was saying, it's FTX. It's a safe and easy way to get into crypto.
I don't think so. And I'm never wrong about this stuff. Never.
All right, crypto, a lot of celebrities endorsing it, so that's just another one of those. You saw a bunch of that with the Super Bowl. How about Jim Carrey, Verizon 5G? Think Cable Man, check it out.
Cable Guy!
No thanks, I don't need cable. I have Verizon 5G internet.
Never heard of it.
5G ultra wideband? It's way better.
I see. So somehow, your home is connected to Verizon's ultra-fast 5G network wirelessly. Without miles and miles of this.
Mm-hmm, yeah, right. Mm-hmm, yeah, right.
Wait! Can I see it?
Sure.
Whoa! They must have locked you into quite a contract.
Nope.
Hidden fees?
Nope, price is the price. Got one in my shop, too. Runs my business.
This may be illegal. I'm going to need to know who installed this.
Me. It's plug and play. But you can have Verizon install it.
Nice, man. Reception's good. But I'll come back tomorrow and double check.
No, I don't think we need you to come.
All right, I like that one. I think we can squeeze in one more. Zeus and Hera. Check this out. BMW Electric.
My fellow gods, the dark skies have spoken.
It is time for Zeus and I to retire.
But where will you go?
Zeus! Sorry, Zeus! I need a charge in the... Oh! Thanks!
Sweetheart, it's not rocket science. I'm heading out. Don't forget to take Peggy for a walk. Mwah!
Yo, Zeus! Ah, a little juice! That's it. I'm done with this place.
We'll see about that. Everything okay out there, baby?
Bang!
Yeah. Little Peggy, a little walk, huh?
I figure you could use a little pick-me-up.
All electric?
All electric.
The BMW iX.
All right, that was one of my...
For small, your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Opening arguments have begun in the federal hate crimes trial of the three Georgia men charged in connection with the death of Ahmaud Arbery, the black jogger whose 2020 shooting fueled protests and calls for racial justice. Travis McMichael, his father Greg McMichael, and their neighbor William Rhody Bryan were already convicted during a state murder trial and sentenced to life in prison last month. Only Brian will have the possibility of parole, and he must serve 30 years before he has that chance. The federal trial will focus on whether race was a motivating factor in Arbery's killing. Police in Albuquerque have arrested a man suspected of stabbing 11 people over the weekend as he rode a bicycle. 42-year-old Tobias Gutierrez has been charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. The stabbings appear to have been committed at random. This is USA Radio News. A federal judge says he'll dismiss a libel lawsuit that former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin filed against the New York Times. She claimed that the paper damaged her reputation with an editorial falsely linking her campaign rhetoric to a mass shooting. U.S. District Judge Jed Rakoff said Palin failed to show that the Times acted out of malice, something required in libel lawsuits involving public figures. The judge said he'll let jury deliberations continue in case his decision is appealed and that he'll formally enter the judgment when the trial ends. No decision was reached by the jury on Monday. They're set to resume on Tuesday. More than 1,400 New York City workers were fired Friday for failing to comply with its vaccine mandate. That number represents less than a percent of the city's workforce, but it's likely the largest mass termination of municipal employees in response to a COVID vaccine mandate. The Dow on Monday lost 172 points. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. SaveGCN.com. You may click Follow, Share, Give, and Pray. You may select all of those choices. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Called Wild Colts Make the Best Horses, The Intrepid Life of Abigail Adams. And I'm so excited to talk about this because many of you know this. I grew up in Philadelphia. I went to so many battlefields. It was all about that time in history. And I've learned a few things about Abigail Adams, but boy, Mary has taught me some pretty amazing things about this woman and her significance in our history. So, Mary, thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm real excited.
So, tell me what drove you to write this book. What made you decide, I'm going to dive into this?
Well, the Adams contribution to our country, I really believe, is overlooked. Throughout my formal education, even college courses, there was never any mention of a woman involved in our struggle for independence, except for the seamstress Betsy Ross. It really was a personal decision of mine to document her life, since my life really mirrors her in many aspects. So my hope is that students become interested in learning about history again, that they encounter teachers who make it come alive, and that our history is presented fairly, including its strengths and weaknesses, especially at this divisive time. I think we all need to grasp the initial ideals of this country, and I wanted to leave my five grandchildren a legacy of a love of history, a love of their nation, and a love of the written word.
So. Love of history. And I'm thinking, you know, the first thing somebody is going to say, right, when they see your book, and this is brilliant, is Wild Colts Make the Best Horses. Where does that come from in the title?
Okay, well, early in our life, Abigail's parents I had a child like this, were concerned about Abigail's outspokenness, her vivaciousness, and very determined character. She was a very dynamic human being. However, Abigail's maternal grandmother, Quincy, who actually spent much time tutoring this girl, reassured her parents with this comment, "Wild colts make the best horses." And I thought this title so beautifully described Abigail's personality that therefore I used it as the title.
Yeah, and it makes so much sense to me now. Once you know that, you understand that. So tell us more about Abigail Adams. What are some of the things we probably don't know about her? What about the Battle of Bunker Hill?
Okay, well, that was the most striking event. The Battle of Bunker Hill, really Breed's Hill, resulted in the burning of Charleston, a retaliatory effort, of course, by the British on these defiant British subjects. Abigail, hoping to impress, she had a young son named John Quincy, who later became president. She took the hand of this 8-year-old boy, and together they walked up Penn's Hill to witness, see, hear, and have him smell the atrocities of war. That day, they were informed of the brutal mutilation of their close friend and physician, 34-year-old Dr. and Colonel Joseph Warren, who fought at Bunker Hill. Both mother and son wept that day. John Quincy records all this in his journal. Another one was that while John was attempting to persuade these delegates at the Continental Congress, we had to sever our ties with Britain. Abigail was home alone, managing the farm, managing the children's education, and running the homestead. But she independently had to make the decision for her 4 children to be inoculated, as smallpox was just raging through the area. Little Charles, age 6, went through the barbaric inoculation process 3 times and became delirious with high fever. Abigail, of course, maintained a bedside village near him for 2 weeks. Nabby, 11, their only daughter, developed nearly 1,000 pustules on her face and body, which scarred her. And one of the most dramatic, which shows this hands-on woman depiction of Abigail, was that she experimented with urine and rainwater at the farm to concoct the gunpowder that John was always requesting. As there was a shortage of ammunition in this ragtag Continental Army, John Quincy also records that his mother molded bullets in their own kitchen. Now, when Abigail was in Europe, in London, she was thrilled to attend these educational lectures. She was an eternally curious and so excited over new scientific ideas such as electricity. After the seminar, she wrote to her sister, "It was like going into a beautiful country which we never saw before, a country to which few females are permitted to visit." She also spent much time with Thomas Jefferson in France, who became a very close friend. And the biography includes friendships with Ben Franklin, George and Martha Washington, Paul Revere, who actually delivered letters to John for her, and Dolly Madison. If I have time to say one more thing.
Sure.
She made the agonizing decision to send this little Charles at 9 years old protested because he did not want to go with his father across the treacherous Atlantic. But Abigail wanted him to experience European culture, and she understood the journey would be risky, knowing they could die at sea. And if the British vessels had attacked their ship, it would have been a feather in their cap to kill John Adams. And they could lose communication for nearly a year. Well, back in Europe, Charles and little John Quincy were mistreated at their European school. So Charles became ill, begged to go home back to his mother. John sent him on a ship, which vanished without a trace. Abigail truly, when you read these letters, nearly lost her mind during the year that she received no information about the whereabouts of her 11-year-old son. She did stop eating. She didn't sleep. It was really very, very pathetic. Should I say one more?
Yeah. That's wow. So what happened to the son? That's it. Vanished.
Well, many times she'd go to Boston, which was 10 miles away, and look at the harbor asking, "Has anyone seen a trace of this ship?" I mean, she was really beside herself. And, of course, John did not know that the ship vanished because communication was so slow. And many times if they knew they were carrying, if the captain of the ship knew he was carrying letters from John to Abigail, they would throw the letters overboard if they saw a British vessel who could come on board and take these letters that could be incriminating, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us another story.
Okay. When their daughter, Nabby, was approximately 40 years old, she wrote home and said that she suspected she had breast cancer. Well, she must have trusted that her mother, Abigail, would seek the best possible medical care. Three surgeons performed this savage mastectomy without anesthesia in a room adjacent to her parents' bedroom. And there are so many more fascinating events that occurred in her life. Yes. And the mother and father took care of her. And she was dying 2 years later of breast cancer when it had invaded her body.
Wow.
Abigail could hardly come out of her bedroom. I mean, she was devastated.
Right.
She was
dealing
very,
with that.
Yeah, she was very resourceful and could rebound. But that one really took her down.
Boy, no kidding. So many fun, interesting facts about Abigail Adams. What do you hope people take away from reading Wild Colts Make the Best Horses, The Intrepid Life of Abigail Adams?
Well, I hope that they realize that she's the strongest, most influential woman during the American Revolution and served as her husband, President John Adams' closest confidant and trusted advisor. Her entire life was devoted to family and community. They even criticized her by calling her Mrs. President. And once John made an appointment for Van Murray to be an envoy to France, and the press said that Abigail must have been out of the White House that week because it was such a poor, poor appointment. So I also hope to increase the respect for our roots by bringing attention back to the imminent dangers these thoughts face. They could have been hung for treason. They plundered and burned many of their properties. There were threats to their family members. But these patriots actually had to disregard that and focus on the future generations to follow. That's what they were trying to create, a nation of equality. Okay? And I want to inform Americans that the Constitution was actually conceived after very meticulous study of your ancient European governments like Rome and those of their own time, because the Constitution, for the first time in history, was going to ensure that power was returned to the people, not monarchies and dictatorships. And the framers strongly strive for justice for all, which is why people still flock here today.
Right.
But
as
I was reading these hundreds of letters, it really deeply affected me. Sometimes I would weep. She became my best friend, and I agonized with her over having a stillborn baby without John and burying the baby and the daughter's mastectomy and so many things, because they were separated for 10 years when the children were little. So Abigail had to take on the burden of all these responsibilities without John.
Finally,
he would write to her and say, I cannot do this without you, that he needed her so badly in his life.
And then look what happened after that. It's amazing. This book is so fascinating. Well done, Mary Mock. You can get the book, Wild Colts Make the Best Horses, The Intrepid Life of Abigail Adams, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thanks, Mary.
All right. It's been a pleasure, and thank you for this opportunity.
those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Bruce Bastian joins us. He's written a book called 13 Months in the Bush in Vietnam in 1968. And Bruce, first, thanks for your service. You and I had a wonderful off-air conversation. I think your book takes us on a really interesting journey and one that you don't hear much about. And some of that is the funny stuff, the camaraderie, what it was really like to be in the middle of this situation that you found yourself in and day out. So thanks for coming on.
Well, thanks, Kate, for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
So let's talk about what happened. So how did you end up in the situation where you went to Vietnam, and then what was that like initially in the first beginning moments of it when you first were deployed?
Well, initially I was in college and not having any goals or reason for being there, and I wasn't doing very well. And I joined the Marine Corps simply so I could find a purpose. And so at that time, of course, they were looking for people to be in the infantry, and that's where I ended up. Going over to Vietnam, even though we'd heard quite a bit about it and thought we knew something about it, it was quite a shock. It wasn't anything like we had really thought. And when real world gets in the way, you can be surprised quite a bit.
And what happened is, speaking of real world, I mean, you had people of all kinds of different backgrounds, and you're a kid, and all different kinds of races and everything you can imagine in this environment, but yet you felt that strong sense of incredible camaraderie, didn't you?
Well, I did, and I think all of us did, actually. Anytime you go through something, some kind of experience with a bunch of people, and you're sharing the load of what's there, you grow together, and you begin to support each other, and you become friends. And it doesn't matter where you started out. Once you're there, you're all together, and you're going through the same thing, sharing the same problems or the same dangers, and you can't help but begin to have friends and close friends.
And your job every day and the guys that you're with is really right to kill the bad guys.
Well, that was the purpose. We were there for one purpose, and that was to win the war. I can talk about that later on because that it didn't turn out that they had any plan to do that. But anyway, that'll be later.
Okay, so one of the things that you said to me is, you know, of course we know, like you said, there were things that were ugly and horrific and violent and all that kind of stuff. Of course, we know that. But you say that there was a lot of fun and funny things that happened with these friendships and that you had a lot of tediousness. And what did you do when, you know, you were bored? So tell us some of the fun stuff.
Well, you have to remember when we talk about what's funny now today, in hindsight, looking back, at the time, it wasn't particularly funny. In fact, it could have been fairly dangerous. It could have been fairly scary. And I have one of my favorite stories is what happened at a place called Wang Ko. There was a hill that we were on, stationed above that, and the idea was to run our patrols down the hill and protect the bridges along the Highway 1. And it turned out that a friend of mine, Jenkins, and I were stationed at the very entrance to the top of the hill, where if the bad guys were going to come up and get us, they had to go through us first. And we were the only ones there at the edge of the jungle where it went down the hill. And so it was just Jenkins and I. We had to alternate watches. And he was sitting out in front on his watch, and I was in the poncho tent trying to get some sleep. And I heard him suddenly say, "Bastion, come out here, please." And I thought, he sounds scared. I better go out and look and see what's going on. And when I went out there, I looked, and he was pointing at this, up into the sky, at this orange glowing parachute that seemed to be jumping around the sky and scared the heck out of us. We didn't know what that was. And so he said, "I'm going to shoot that son of a gun." And he fired off a few rounds right into it, and I saw the tracers. It looked like he hit it. So I told him he got it. But nothing happened. He just stood there. It just sat there, jumping around in the sky. We didn't know what it was going to do. And we're thinking about that. And, of course, when he shot off the rounds, that disturbed some people on the other side of the hill, and we could hear them coming to see what was going on. And while we were waiting for them to get to us, we noticed that the clouds in the sky were breaking apart, and it was showing a lot more night, open sky. And at the same time, the moon had risen over the mountains out in the horizon there. And what we had actually shot at was the top half of the moon that was just coming up over the mountains. And I thought we had hit it. So Jenkins was really relieved at knowing what his dangerous foe was. And so he was beginning to relax just a little bit. But in the meantime, the guys came around from the side of the hill, and they wanted to know what was going on. And I didn't want to tell them that Jenkins had shot at the moon. That would be stupid. So I told them that Jenkins heard something. And the lieutenant got really mad at us, and he said, "Don't you know that if you hear something, you throw a grenade at it rather than shooting at it, because otherwise they're going to know where you're at." And the funny part is now Jenkins is so now relieved that he knew what he was shooting at that he blurted out, "Well, yep, now the moon know where I'm at." So in hindsight, it's pretty funny, but at the time, it was fairly scary.
Yeah, oh, I bet it was. And you know, and you think about, like, where did you sleep? What did you eat? What about some of these battles? And you talk about that in your book.
Well, I do. I try to cover just about everything we did, where we lived, the little poncho tents, and where we slept, and what we ate, and the good things that happened to us, and just the mundane bad things about getting diarrhea or getting plugged up or what you would do about those things. And so it wasn't all bad blood and guts and gore and fighting. You're there for 13 months. Lots of things happen, just like they would in normal life.
Yeah.
And
when you look back on this, like you say, things just happen like in normal life. But what else do you want the reader to know when they think about getting into this war and what happened and all of that? How do you sum that up?
Well, one of the reasons I wrote it, there were several different reasons, of course, but I wanted to explain that the military and our government went from, at least in our view, from being the good guy and trying to be protectors of freedom and democracy to becoming, it became an unending, disastrous quest for the power and the money and the control. And in hindsight, I happen to think that it continues to this day. But when we began that, it was considered the military and the government were considered the good guys, and they were trying to protect us. And it turns out they didn't have a plan. They didn't know what they were doing. We didn't do anything that was worthwhile over there. The guys over there did what was required of them, and they did it in exceptional manner. But we didn't keep a hill. If we took the hill, we didn't keep a village. If we kept the village, or if we took the village, and there was no rhyme or reason for being there. We weren't accomplishing anything. And that was one of the things I point out in the last part of the book.
Yeah, which again is what's so interesting about your book. You take us through some fun times, what was tough, and then ultimately, you know, what was the quest when you were there. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, I'd like people to realize there was a balance to the being there. I mean, I think the public has an image that a skewed image that says it was nothing but blood and guts and gore and fighting and terrible situation. And of course it was that at certain times, but you're there a whole year. You can't possibly be there a whole year without having your normal activities going on, your normal friendships, the fun times, the good times. So that was one thing. And then I really wanted to point out that the role of happenstance in being there, you know, deciding who gets killed or who gets wounded or who becomes sick or who has to be medevaced out of there or who, like me, happened to skate through with no problems whatsoever. It's just a matter of happenstance. There's the role of luck and chance. And it doesn't have anything to do with what you learn in class or how fast you can duck and cover. It's just a matter of luck. And you either get it or you don't.
Perfect place to end this. Get this book, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, 13 Months in the Bush in Vietnam, 1968. Bruce Bashton, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.